Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous, and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him, and you were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So far God's word, and as always, I encourage you, keep your Bibles open as we look at verses 22 through 24. But first of all, please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come together this afternoon to do the hard work of hearing your word. Hard work because our hearts, Lord, are naturally sinful. Hard work because change requires effort. Hard work because we're distracted by the things of this week, by the tiredness that we carry with us. But Lord, Heavenly Father, this afternoon, may it be good work. As we focus on your word, as we're encouraged by your word, as we're challenged by your word, guide us in the way that only your Holy Spirit can this afternoon. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Excuse me, I should have spoken up before. I'm an elder and a ministry and a musician here at John Knox Presbyterian.
Right.
I only popped in to pick up my guitar to go and do another service.
Right.
I felt compelled to stay. I love you. Bless you. I'm so pleased you can share your premises.
Wonderful.
And faith. I'll say cheerio.
No problem. Thank you so much. I haven't offended you because I haven't said anything yet, hopefully.
You've done much, much less than offended. I'm so pleased to have a small part of your service.
Great. Thank you for your building. You've got everything you need?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Bye-bye. Good. Well, it would be really nice to have everything done for us, wouldn't it? Be waited on hand and foot. Every now and then you see those win-a-maid competitions. For a year, you have someone who'll come in and clean your house. Would be nice, wouldn't it? He's got one, yes. Yeah, the wives are sitting there thinking, oh, I've got one of those already. Yeah. Shame on you, men. I wasn't planning to rebuke this early on there, but shame on you, men. Imagine, boys and girls, that for a whole year, you never, ever had to tidy away. You could take your clothes and you could just throw them on the floor. What we like to call in our house, the floor drobe. And at this stage, some of the mums are thinking, they do that anyway. Imagine that you never had to make your bed. And when you came to your bed at night, Your bed would be nicely made. There'd be a hot water bottle in there and a chocolate on your pillow. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But sadly, for most of us, I say now most of us because I've already been corrected, for most of us, that's not real life. To keep your room tidy, to keep the house tidy, to keep your house maintained, takes work. As does the Christian life. The Christian life is one of work. Does that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable? Does that make your theological radar start to twitch? I thought the Christian life wasn't about work. It was all about grace. It was about Jesus Christ saving us. And that is true. We are saved by grace alone. We don't do any work to be saved, to be in a right relationship with God. But yet the Christian life is one of work. We come in the section of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is basically a document, if you haven't heard of the Heidelberg Catechism, a document that helps us understand God's Word, the Word of Scripture. And the Heidelberg Catechism has three sections. Testing out some of my catechism class now. What's the first section of the Heidelberg Catechism? Man's misery. Yes, I don't quite remember seeing you in my catechism class, but you knew as well. That's good. The second section, so we know about man's misery. The second section is man's deliverance. Yes, man's deliverance. And here we come tonight to service is one, yes. Man's starts with G. Man's gratitude, yes. How we are to live because of what Jesus has done for us. Because Jesus has saved us out of our misery. And that involves work. It's good work, but it involves work. And so this evening we're going to see transforming repentance is work. Transforming repentance is work. Work that involves us, but also, as we shall see, and vitally as we shall see, work that involves God, as God is at work in us. We're going to look at the three commands in verses 22 through 24 in Ephesians chapter 4. And these commands are going to be our points. The first point is this. Put off. In verse 22 we read, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. But before we look into putting off, let's just step back a little and remind ourselves where Paul has come from with the Ephesians. He begins by reminding the Ephesians in chapter 1 of the spiritual blessings that they have in Jesus Christ. He unpacks those blessings for them. He gives thanks for those blessings. In chapter 2, he speaks about the transformation that happens to every single person who is a believer. Once we're dead in trespasses and sin, now alive in Christ Jesus. In the second half of chapter 2, he speaks about how Jesus Christ has broken down the barrier between Jews and Gentiles. Chapter 3, he speaks about the mystery of the gospel. He prays for spiritual strength. And then in chapter 4, Paul begins the chapter by saying this. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And for the rest of the letter, on the basis of what Christ has done, on the basis of who they are, he's going to speak about what walking in a manner worthy of the call that they have received looks like. And so that brings us to verse 17. In verse 17, he paints a picture of contrast about what the unbelievers look like, darkened in their understanding, verse 18, alienated from God, hardness of heart. But then he paints a contrast in verse 20. He says, that way of living is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him. The picture here is one of sitting in a classroom one of our catechism classes, or a new believer, or a new member class, learning about Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, he calls them to live in a certain way. Because of Christ, because of who he was, because of what he's done, because of his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, his ascension into heaven. And so in verse 22, he has the picture of clothing. Put off your old self. Put off your old garments, or put off your old man, is what he's saying here. But what does he mean by putting off? Well, verse 19 gives us a clue. They're speaking about unbelievers. They have become callous. They've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Chapter 2, verse 3, talking about the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, doing what we want, living our own way. And Paul says, put off those old desires. Put off those old passions. Put off your sinful life, your old life. Now, most of you will have a piece of clothing that you really like. I have an Otago hoodie that I wear, and I love to wear this hoodie around the house. I love to wear this hoodie as often as I can, but I can't wear it all the time. I would offend most of you if I wore it here to church this afternoon, it not being red and black colours. But apart from that, eventually it needs to be washed. There comes a time when no one can stand around, if I never washed it, that no one will be able to stand next to me because it smells so bad. But I like it. I want to hold on to it. It feels comfortable. And our sin, our old nature, can be like that. We're comfortable in the sins that we carry around. We're comfortable in our laziness and our bad habits. We're comfortable with the way we use our tongues, our respectable sins, as we talked about the other week, the sins that we are quite happy to tolerate in our own lives, but maybe not so happy to tolerate in others. Sins that we say that we carry around, well, they don't really hurt anyone. But when we're comfortable like that, when we hang on to those, what we're doing is underestimating, undervaluing, not appreciating how bad sin is. And we're totally ignoring how much God hates sin and how God sees sin and what God does to punish sin. Heidelberg Catechism Question and Answer 89 helps us in this. If you have your green books, turn with me there, please. Page 835. 835, it's in the song books. We're going to say these words together now. Lord's Day 33, it's down there on the bottom. And I'm going to ask the question, we'll all answer together. What is the dying away of the old self? And let's say these words together. It is to be genuinely sorry for sin, to hate it more and more, and to run away from it. Is that you? Does that describe you? Are you genuinely sorry for your sin? Do you hate your sin more and more? Do you seek to run away from it? Where are you not sorry? What sins do you have that you don't hate? It's an important question to ask. What is it that you need to put off? If you don't know the answer to that question, if you don't see it, you're not going to put it off. Paul calls the Ephesians. He calls us to put off our old self that belongs to our former life as corrupt through deceitful desires. And yes, that is hard work. It's hard work. But we're not the only ones doing the work. And that's vital for us to see. Too often we stop at verse 22. In fact, what we do is we have verse 22 and verse 24, and we miss verse 23 that we're going to come to very shortly. It's vital for us to see that it's not just us doing the work. If we look at putting off and putting on, and that's all that we look at, what do you think we end up being? Who do we become if we just put off and put on? We become legalists. We become box tickers. And I love that sort of thing. Tell me what I need to do. Tell me what boxes I need to tick. Tell me what hoops I have to jump through, and then I'll be all okay. But that's not the picture of the Christian life. And if we think that we're right with God just because we're ticking boxes, God is happy with us just because of what we're doing, then we've got Christianity and the gospel all wrong. That's where point two and verse 23 is so vital. Paul tells them to put off their old self. And then verse 23, he says this. It's our second point. Be renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And this idea of being renewed in many ways is something passive. It's something that's done to us. You notice there, and if you have your Bibles open, that the spirit there is a small s. It's talking about our spirits, our souls, our inner being. And Paul is calling us to be renewed in that. How does that happen? How can that take place? Well, there's a sense in which we have to allow it to happen. We have to consent to it. We have to be willing for that to happen. And that can only come through Jesus Christ. And that can only come through the Holy Spirit, capital S. The Holy Spirit, it works in our lives through the process of sanctification, a theological word that means progressive transformation, making us more and more like Jesus Christ. Paul speaks about that concept often elsewhere in the scripture. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, he says this. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 4 and 5. For while we were still in this tent, we groaned, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we'd be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit's at work transforming us into new beings. And then, of course, that famous passage, Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's the Holy Spirit that renews us. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to put off, that equips us to put off, and equips us to put on. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us more like Jesus Christ. But even here, there's work on our part. We need to be willing to work with the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit continues to work in us, as he slowly transforms us, slowly renews us. And how can we do that? How can we assist, if I can put it that way, the Holy Spirit? What's the primary way that the Holy Spirit works in our life, as we've been considering that over the past couple of weeks and months? What's the main tool that the Holy Spirit uses to change us? What do you think, boys and girls? What is the main tool that the Holy Spirit uses to change us? David knows the answer. He's just coughing and resisting to give the answer. What's this? The Bible, yes. The Holy Spirit takes the words of the Bible and applies it to our lives, applies it to our heart, reminds us of what we're reading. As we learn, as Paul likes to put it here in Ephesians 4, as we learn Jesus Christ. Learning through his word. As we were reminded of this morning as a church, prayer and reading the word, growing in the word. Asking the Holy Spirit to work in us, to renew us, to transform us, to see what it is that we need to put off. To show us what we need to put on. We can pray for his help and he will give it. A prayer that will most certainly be answered. Put off, be renewed, and then put on. In verse 24 we read this: put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The new self, the clothes of righteousness that we have because of Jesus Christ, our new wardrobe. As Paul says to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And then there was one sense that we are already totally the new self, because that's the way that God sees us. God sees us as we were meant to be, holy and righteous because of Jesus Christ. But there's another sense in which that's a process that is ongoing. And in fact, all of these commands here that we've been looking at, put off, being renewed, put on the new self, all have this idea of continuous action, of keeping up with it. Boys and girls, have you only ever had to tidy your room once? See, there you go. Yeah, I heard every single Saturday. Have you only ever have to do the dishes once? No, it's something that you need to keep working on, keep doing. And that's the process in the Christian life. Continuously putting off, continuously being renewed, continuously putting on. A new self which is created after the likeness of God. When we hear that phrase, the likeness of God, our mind should go back right to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1. Let us make man in our own likeness, in our own image. Putting on the new self is being and living the way that God designed us to be. Living in the light of who we are because of Jesus Christ. Living holy lives, lives that are set apart to serve him. Lives of righteousness because we are right with God. And while the Holy Spirit is integral to that process, again, it involves work on our part. As the Holy Spirit helps us. And hopefully, no, you've closed. Some of you have your books open still. That brings us to question answer 90. We were asked the question, turn there over the page 836 in your hymn books. Bit of up and down this afternoon, 836. I'm going to ask the question, what is the coming to life of the new self? It's another way of putting or asking the question, what does it look like to put on the new self? Question and answer 90, page 836. Just about there. What is the coming of life to the new self? Let's say these words together. It is wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to. Living our lives in light of what Christ has done for us, the joy that we have, and also doing good, putting on good. living a life of gratitude, of thankfulness because of what Christ has done for us. But what does this look like practically? What does this mean for us? Well, thankfully, the Apostle Paul unpacks that for us in the next couple of verses, verses 25 through 32. Now, we're not going to look at all of these this afternoon. We're going to look at two really briefly, and you've got some homework to do. What I want you to do through the rest of this week is read the passage that we've read tonight from verse 17 through to the end of the chapter, and especially verses 25 to 32, and look at the dynamic there of putting off and putting on. Homework for this week. But let's look just at two here briefly. Verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labour, doing honest work with his own hands. Let the thief no longer steal, putting off. But rather let him labour, putting on, doing honest work with his own hands, that so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. What does that mean for us? It means, boys and girls, doing your schoolwork to the best of your ability. The best that you can. Not being lazy, putting off laziness, but putting on, doing your work to the best of your ability, so that when you grow older, you're able to help someone because of all the things that you've learned. And similarly for us as grown-ups, of course. Rather than wasting our time or wasting the boss's time, working to the best of our ability so that we are able to share what we are given with others. Putting off, putting on. And then verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. This is a tough one. No corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Put off any corrupting talk. What's the put on there? Only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Challenging words there, aren't they? Practically, putting off, putting on, and that renewal process going in there as we do that. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Now, that might be a bit hard to understand what corrupting talk is, but the opposite is only ever saying something that builds up the person who hears it. Not neutral, not kind of okay, but words that build up. Ouch. I don't know about you, but there's a fair bit of putting off that I need to do and a fair bit of putting on. Do you see the picture here practically, what Paul is talking about? The Christian life, and yes, again, that is hard work. The Christian life is not simply one of box ticking. It is a life of dependence on Jesus Christ and his work, because that's the only way we can do good work. Because of who we are as a result of Jesus Christ's work in our life, because of who we're becoming through the work of the Holy Spirit, it does involve work. Transforming repentance. A lifelong process as we are made more and more like Jesus Christ. So put off. What is it that you need to put off this afternoon, this week, the coming months, for the rest of your life? Where do you need the Holy Spirit to help you? Be renewed. Remember who you are. Remember who you are in Jesus Christ. Be guided by the living and breathing word as the Holy Spirit applies that to your life, transforms and molds you. And put on the new self with the help of God's Holy Spirit as we are transformed to become more and more like our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Spend some time this week, I encourage you, considering this. Talk about it over dinner once or twice this week. Reread the passage and talk about it together as we consider how we work in thankfulness to our Saviour. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who we are in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fact that we are secure, and if we believe in him and trust in him, no one, nothing can ever take us away. Let us never, ever forget that. But let us never also ever leave it there. Let us never be lazy and rest in who we are in you. Rather, live lives that respond out of thankfulness, out of gratitude for what you have done for us. Heavenly Father, help us through your Holy Spirit to put off. Make us uncomfortable with our sins, especially the sins that we're not so bothered about. Help us to consider what we need to put off, and help us to do so. Help us to be genuinely sorry for our sin and to hate it more and more. Renew us, Holy Spirit, because that's the only way that we can grow in our good work for you. Transform us. Help us to grow. And we thank you for the fact that you are gentle with us as we are growing. Help us to put on our new self. Heavenly Father, help us as we do this good work in response and thankfulness to you. Work in us. This evening we pray, continue to work in us, and we thank you for your promise in Philippians that you who began a good work in us will continue to work that in us, will continue that job till it is done, till it is complete, till you say at the end of time, it is finished. And there is no more putting off, because we have fully, totally put on. Heavenly Father, we long for that day. We hope for that day when we can live perfectly in gratitude for you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the possibility, for the hope, for the sure hope that we have, if we're in Jesus Christ, that this will be true for each and every one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand now and sing a song that reminds us, if we haven't got that message already this evening, that work that is going on in us is a work of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit that allows us to work in turn. Number 445, that great hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, after which I invite you to remain standing as we receive God's blessing to his people. Rock of Ages.